Hello, and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I'm Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Whoa, you're not?
No, but you are my favorite conservative. That's where the show came from.
Oh, I get it. Thank you.
Yes, so we will be audio only for this episode. Unfortunately, we're not live today because we are out of town again.
Yes.
I wish we could say we were taking these exotic vacations, but we're not.
Well, Chicago was kind of fun. That was last week.
Okay, that was work for me.
Okay.
And you volunteered.
That's true.
Okay.
But we wanted to make sure, we wanted to give an episode out to everybody, make sure we stay engaged as much as we can to get through this election season.
Get through is a good way to put
it. Yes.
So we start each show during season three here with until the election with the latest polling. So let's get to it. In the Real Clear Politics, RCP, national average, Trump versus Biden. Trump is still holding. He is up 1.1, well within the margin of error. So nothing has really changed on a national level, despite his conviction.
Yes. Yes. I did actually see some polls that basically the same amount of people that now won't vote for a convicted felon is absolutely offset by people that say they're going to vote for him now because they think he was abused.
Right.
So it's a wash.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
So what we're going to add something new this week, right?
We are.
Oh. And we're going to carry it through the entire election season. It's
okay.
Called This Day in History. It's by Real Clear Politics again. And it looks back at this day in both the 2016 and 2020 campaigns, which is kind of interesting because you wonder how was, you know, Trump's sized up or standing up to vote in that particular time.
Let me help you out.
Please do.
Okay, so this day in history on June 6th, 2020, where do things stand?
Well, in 2020, Biden was actually up 7.4, which is stunning, right?
Yes.
I mean,
and we are recording this a few days earlier
on
than
Thursday.
Yeah.
And by the way, happy birthday to my son Bradley.
Yes.
His birthday D-Day is B-Day, as we call it.
Aww.
Yes.
Okay, that's cute.
Thank you.
All right, so also this day in history on June 6, 2016.
Yes, when he was versus the lovely Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Hillary actually had a +2 lead on Trump at the time. So this election season, this 2024 campaign, this is the only time that Trump has ever led in a presidential head-to-head.
That's interesting.
It is. It's amazing,
yeah, it's really
isn't it? Yes. Now, we do have the battleground states. And just a little disclaimer.
Yes.
My lovely non-conservative here has had a couple of wines. So we're doing a little wine podcasting here.
I have had a couple of wines. I had one 8-ounce glass of
wine. Do you have wine in front of you right now?
And there's another maybe 2 ounces.
Okay.
There, so.
Okay. So bear with us.
I'm exhausted. Okay. What do you want?
All right. Well, let's look at the battleground states.
Thank you.
Let's start with Pennsylvania.
No change
from a week or two ago where Trump is actually still up 2.3.
Yes.
North Carolina, Trump is really pulling ahead. He is up 5.3. He was at 5.0. Yeah, so he's, you know, continuing. If you get over 3 to 3.5, that's kind of outside the margin of error.
Okay.
In Georgia, head down south to Georgia, Trump has gone up from +4 to +4.8. So he's increasing his lead.
I'm going to say the next one, because it's a state that we feel like will make the biggest difference is Michigan. So last time we reported on this, Trump was up 1.1. He's still ahead, but that has dropped significantly. Oh, yeah, cannot do big words. To 0.3, so well within the margin of error.
It is. And Wisconsin is going to be another real toss-up state. He was up 0.1. He continues to stay up
0.1. Yeah, he's going to forget
Wisconsin. It will be close, for sure. In Nevada, Trump's was previously 5.3. He's now at 5.4, so he's increased his lead.
Yeah, he continues to really increase in North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, which didn't used to be toss-up states. So I do find it interesting.
Correct. And finally, Arizona, the last of the battlegrounds, he was up 4.1. He's up 4.0 now.
It's a little drop.
It is. I was actually looking at a electoral map that you could play with online. And basically, if Trump wins everything except for Michigan and Wisconsin, he should still be right at 270. So he has to take
to get Michigan or Pennsylvania.
Well, he can afford to lose both of the Michigan and Wisconsin if he makes sure he wins Pennsylvania.
That's what I just said.
Right,
he has to get Michigan or Pennsylvania. He has to get one of those two. He's not going to get Wisconsin.
No, he can if he
no,
gets.
No, okay, no. He has to get either of those two. So if he loses Pennsylvania,
well,
he better
get
Michigan.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
Okay.
I know it's hard to understand. Am I a slightly tipsy state?
I've got you now.
Okay, but he's not going to get Wisconsin. That's out the door.
I think not.
Okay, all right. So I just do want to say for our audience that Edward was so secretive about this topic. Now, I was traveling, so was he for that matter. And that I didn't know what the topic was until about an hour ago. Because we're deviating a little bit. Most of our topics are focusing on things that we think will impact the election. Would you please share what today's topic is?
Well, I'm hoping it affects the election because today is kind of an appeal to our friends on the left.
Okay.
And I want them to see what is going on, what has been going on. And we're going to be talking about projection and how the left has absolutely mastered it. And tell us what projection technically is.
Okay, I'm pretty sure our audience knows, but projection is defined as the unconscious transfer of one's own desires or emotions to another person. So you hear about this a lot in people having issues in their marriage, where one spouse accuses the other of cheating because they're actually cheating themselves. Today in politics, it's accusing your opponent of what you're actually doing. So we're going to look at different examples of projection.
Yeah, I actually first heard about projection, gosh, at least 20 plus years ago from the late Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And as usual, he was absolutely spot on. And, you know, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, Rush, really?
But you were a lot younger.
Example after example.
All right.
It is a thing.
So
sure.
It's my job for the show to.
So we're going to look at some examples, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So Hillary, projection number one. Hillary accuses Trump of collusion with the Russians to steal the election.
Yeah, this is like the granddaddy of them all here.
It is.
Right?
Actually,
accusing Trump of collusion with the Russians. So what does Hillary do? First, she hires Christopher Steele through a law firm, mind you, to make up dirt on Trump. And Christopher Steele literally colluded with Russians to compile his dossier. So he's using Russian information. Hillary pays for this dossier, promotes it, pushes it through all the intelligence agencies and the media, and it becomes the Russia collusion that we heard nonstop for 3 years. And do you think the media might apologize that they kind of got it wrong?
Well,
no, of course not. Of course not. But so anytime, even today, Hillary still brings in Putin and whatnot.
She does.
Just look at her as she's speaking and realize this is the woman. She literally actually made it all up and is still pushing it. The chutzpah.
Yes,
she has. I can't spell that word, but yes.
I actually can.
Okay.
All right. So projection number two, which we are going to hear this weekend. We're recording this on a Thursday. It will be released for you guys on Sunday or Monday, depending on where you follow us. We will definitely hear this weekend. Trump will end democracy.
Yes, yes. So if you don't have anything to run on, as Biden has zero platform to run on, you accuse the other person of ending democracy. It's so serious that if Trump's elected, there will be no more elections. There'll be nothing at all. But let me ask this. So in terms of ending democracy, which party is trying to jail their main opponent?
Yep.
I don't know which one. And don't say, well, Joe Biden's never done anything wrong. Well, you know, please remember Robert Hur, that he's a kindly gentleman, elderly gentleman with a poor memory, and he couldn't get convicted. So
just keep going now.
Yes, but also, which party is trying to remove all the other candidates from the ballot, from any debates?
Yeah, the Democrats want to remove RFK Jr. from the ballot, and you know, he deserves to be on there, but they are worried about him taking votes from Biden.
So what's the best way, you know, instead of letting people actually vote, aka democracy, they want to shut it down and basically have Biden the only candidate.
Right.
Yeah. That's democracy, right? Thank you.
Number three projection. These are good, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There is a war on women by the Republicans. I'm going to rephrase this because it's some passive voice and it's bothering the writer in me. The Republicans have a war on women.
Yes, yes. When did it start? 10, 15 years ago?
It started with Romney. I think you're right.
Yeah.
That was kind of the beginning.
But so, yeah, so they've accused the Republicans of waging a war on women. But which party just recently, what was it, last month, changed the Title IX, allowing men to compete as women in sports in college?
Yep.
Now, I'm going to guess that doesn't benefit actual women.
No, it does not.
It does not.
But that's okay, because our Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, I mean, she doesn't know how to define a woman.
Well, she's a Supreme Court justice. She is not,
a biologist.
Yes. Correct, yeah.
So, by the way, I led you into the next one.
You did. I buried the lead here. But yeah, let's go all the way back to Mitt Romney, right?
Let's do, yes.
So Mitt Romney had binders full of women. All right. So Mitt Romney.
Who's as bad as clean and boring as it gets.
Yes,
really
we call him
is.
Mittens. Yes,
yes.
And make this nice and warm and fuzzy or whatever. But
yes.
So Mitt Romney put together a whole list of women that he wanted to promote. He wanted to make sure that women were getting a seat at the table. He put them in a binder, and somehow the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, made this look like he was some sort of misogynist, you know,
yes.
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Right?
I know it's funny. So I remember this at the time. I do, and I was never a Romney fan, but nor was I an Obama fan, and wasn't even against Obama in 2012.
Yes.
And it's a pretty good memory for the one I've had, and I remember even at the time thinking, this is the biggest crock of shit, go ahead, put the explicit apple, that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, even I thought I was no fan of Romney. I did not vote for him. I was not a registered Republican, and I still thought they were full of it. I was like, this guy, this milquetoast, give me a break. So it was exactly what you said it was. He was looking at promoting women into positions of power in his cabinet.
Yep.
All right. Number four projection, Trump. We're going to hear this one this weekend.
Yes. Okay. By the way, so we're going to spend the weekend or so with some people that perhaps don't have our political alignment. Our political alignment is a little bit off. So,
well, ours is off, but it's respectful.
Correct.
And that's the difference.
Correct.
And thank you for not saying who it was. All right, number four. I can't even say this one. Okay. Trump won't accept the election results.
Yes, because remember Hillary. Right?
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Yes, she certainly accepted. She went and funded and promoted the birth of the resistance.
And she wrote a book.
Oh, yeah. And it became, she went on that book tour around the world, foreign countries, saying Trump stole the election because of Vladimir Putin, which, again, see our earlier talking point of her being the one that drummed up this whole Russia collusion thing out of thin air. So,
yes.
Stunning.
Yeah. I just want to say, as a fellow writer and author, I was a little gleeful that book did not even make its advance back. So.
Yes,
apparently it wasn't that good.
Most of them on the left don't. But, you know, I guess the final one under this won't accept election results. Let's look at 2000 with Al Gore. Remember, Al Gore concedes and then calls up a little bit later. Whoa, wait a minute. Hang on.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I remember this because you're a fellow Floridian, so this really had an impact on you and your state. But,
yep.
I mean, I was in California. And I don't know why I started to get caught up in this election a little bit. Maybe because I didn't want Bush out of office, but he was leaving. He was leaving at that point. Who was up against? Sorry, Gore. It was Gore. But
yeah,
Bush.
Yeah, Clinton
okay.
was done.
Clinton was done. That's right. And so I did not want Bush in office. It's the one talking. Anyway, but I do remember I stayed up all night watching this. I had to teach the next day, and I get to school, and all the teachers look so haggard because we all stayed up going, what the fuck is going on in Florida? Like, it was crazy.
And then you realize it was all for naught because it went on for a month.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. So, yes. Anyway, all right. So, projection number five, Trump's first impeachment with Ukraine. And this feels like so long ago that I didn't even remember it until I saw
it. Yeah. And this is absolutely perfect example here.
It is,
so Trump, if you remember, they accused Trump of trying to influence the election with Joe Biden in 2020 by talking to Vladimir Zelensky, who everybody knows now, who nobody knew back then.
That's true, yeah.
Of who was the president of Ukraine, still is, of trying to get dirt on Hunter and Joe, and led to his impeachment. With, by the way, secondhand knowledge,
yep,
by Vindman, Colonel Vindman. But this is up against Joe Biden, who literally bragged in front of a full audience about withholding $1 billion in U.S. aid, which
when he was VP,
yeah, of which he had no authority to do so.
Not at all.
Unless they fired the prosecutor, unless Ukraine fired the prosecutor that was looking into his son's company's corruption. So it can't be more clear than that.
Yes. Projection number six. We will also hear this. Let's begin. Trump will weaponize the Justice Department. This
wow.
is perfect.
Yeah. I mean, right. My goodness. I mean, you've got Biden's DOJ has gone after anybody who was associated with Trump. You've got Steve Bannon,
yep,
who was one of Trump's special assistants, going to jail, I think, within a week for contempt of Congress. And Peter Navarro, another one of his aides, is already in jail for 4 months for contempt of Congress because they refused to testify in front of Congress that their conversations with President Trump were executive privilege. So, you know, a president has an executive privilege of getting information from aides so that they can speak freely,
right,
that they're not going to be prosecuted. And this is exactly what's happened. I mean, if you, and just obviously look at you know, what's happened recently with Trump's conviction in New York,
yeah,
right? I mean, if you don't think that the Justice Department has colluded with these local DAs, you're absolutely blind and naive, because just expand on this very quickly, the third in charge at the Justice Department, the guy who was number three at the Justice Department, quit his job to go take a job as an assistant prosecutor in a county office so they could drum up all of these charges against Trump. And that's exactly what happened. So, stunning.
Yes.
Simply stunning.
You have two more there.
We could look at January 6th. I mean, you want to talk about weaponizing the Justice Department. They have gone after thousands of people for just being in the area.
Yeah.
Understand, punish anybody who did something wrong.
Right.
But parading, really, you're going after thousands of people for parading. And this is where they don't really care if they get a conviction. They're looking as the process that they put people through is the punishment. So you're going to, they can tell you, we'll bankrupt you because we've got all the money in the world, or you can plead guilty to this charge. And that's what happens with people, unfortunately. Now, also on a more recent example of weaponizing the Justice Department, you know, I talked earlier about Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro are already in jail.
Right.
Both Hunter Biden and his uncle, Joe's brother, James Biden, absolutely, positively lied to Congress under oath,
right,
and they are not facing charges at all.
Okay. All right. And last but not least, I like they did lucky seven. So number seven projection, again, one that we'll probably hear this weekend. Trump doesn't respect institutions.
Yeah,
remember
when Trump was first running, it was, my gosh, he is so bad. He doesn't respect any norms. Now, granted, Trump is a little bit outside of the box.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what makes him so attractive to so many people.
You say attractive, I say interesting.
Well, because we on the right are so tired of just being a punching bag, and Trump punches back.
Well, let's circle
back to this. So let's respect the institution. So what have the Democrats done? They have absolutely formed what's called lawfare. So
this
ain't warfare.
It's a new form. It's this new word.
So what it is we on the left will go after you on anything, and we will bury you in lawsuits. And that's what they're doing. And it needs to be done to them in order for them to call a truce.
Right. And they're also turning misdemeanors into felonies.
Yeah. Yes. You mean misdemeanors that are way past the statute of limitations.
Oh, yes.
So then they resurrect them and slap a federal charge on a county office, which is ridiculous. So, yes, in terms of respecting the institutions, that's not a lot of respect on it. Let me put it this way. If you are doing something so outside the norm of trying to prosecute a former president of the United States, it better be on something very serious.
Right.
You agree? It better be a bribery, corruption, that sort of stuff, you know, colluding with enemies. Not, gee, I misappropriated possibly a hush money payment.
Right.
It's a bookkeeping, a misdemeanor bookkeeping error that they are turning into felonies.
Okay, I need you to circle back here.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So let's also look at the Supreme Court.
Okay.
What does the left want to do to the Supreme Court?
They
because they're not
people.
Getting their way. Yes, they want to.
Because there's too many conservatives.
They want to pack the Supreme Court. Correct.
Yeah.
So is that respecting
and
the institution?
That's not a new idea, by the way.
It is. It is getting way more traction now from the.
But it's not a new idea.
No,
let's
but it
say,
is. If you want to talk about disrupting norms,
yeah.
of which they accuse Trump of doing, Trump has never said once that we should pack the Supreme Court. So,
I know, but I think the next one's even more critical.
Well, I mean, let's look at no voter ID. Right? I mean, in the history of our country, you've presented ID to vote. I know I did ever since I was 18 years old. And now it is.
I just know you have to present ID, period.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yes. Anywhere to get anything. So
yes.
Let's talk about going against norms. I would say that's a pretty big one right there. So.
All right. Is that it for our 7 projections?
That's it for our 7 projections this week.
Okay, so we do have one of my favorite segments because it's positive. This Week in Wins, from our friend Richard Polina at the New York Post. Tagging you, New York Post. Okay.
Now,
so,
a win is something good that happens, is that right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, and we don't get enough of those.
Something
like
positive.
Yes, this is, as you guys know, who really listen to us, this is not always a regular segment. We don't always have a Week in Win, but this one's a really good one. And I just, my heart goes out to this woman, just listen to the headline. Spirit Airlines, and that's why my heart goes out to her. Girl, don't fly Spirit. Okay. Spirit Airlines flyer tracks down her stolen luggage to airport employee's Florida house with her pinging Apple Watch. All right. Love it. Fill us in.
Let's go. A Spirit Airlines passenger managed to track down her stolen luggage after it vanished when she arrived at a Fort Lauderdale airport using one of the stolen items to aid in her desperate search.
All right. Paola Garcia had been waiting for her small, pink, hard-shell luggage containing several Apple products, like her personal MacBook and 2 Apple Watches, at the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport's carousel after returning home to the Sunshine State.
Sorry, Spirit Airlines employees told Garcia not to worry about it, that her luggage would be sent to her house.
Which is what they normally do.
Correct.
So the next day, she receives a ping from one of her Apple Watches, except it wasn't coming from the airport, but 15 minutes away at a Fort Lauderdale home.
That's right.
This is hilarious.
It was the home of Junior Basile, who worked in the retail store Paradise Shops at the airport, according to an arrest application. So determined to get her belongings back, she actually went to the house, found her suitcase and her things, and immediately called 911.
And after it was confirmed that Garcia's luggage was indeed stolen, Spirit Airlines released a statement saying it reimbursed her As a courtesy. Yes. All right. Okay. So I think the message here, even though this is a win and she rocks, all right, Miss Garcia, Ms., Mrs., whatever, you rock. I love you. But I think the lesson here is don't fly Spirit in our lives.
It is. And what I didn't put in the story here is the police, when she called 911 and the police showed up, they said, what are you doing? This is dangerous. You shouldn't do this.
Well, it is dangerous, yeah. So. But I get it. Like, I get it. Like, if I knew where my shit was and all I wanted was my stuff back, I would go there.
Yeah, so they actually arrested the guy. Then they found video of him actually going through the luggage. And there's a thought that it's a much bigger ring of employees of different areas
probably
down there that are doing this. Yeah, so.
So may I jump in here?
Please do.
So back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I'm sure it's changed a little bit, but the top three items that would be stolen from any luggage whatsoever were iPods, I'm really dating myself, jewelry of any kind, and cameras. And I have always had a camera. I loved having really good camera. I'm not talking about my phone. I got my first camera when I think I was 12 years old. And my camera was stolen in 2010 out of my checked bag. And I was so mad at myself and so upset because I thought I kept it with me the whole time. And I had checked it. It was inside its camera case, but pretty obvious what it was. And it was a very, very expensive camera. Oh. Yeah. And so, yeah.
All right.
I'm just sharing that. All right. So for our regular segment, mm-hmm. You always find good ones, babe. This week in Woke, from our friend Matt Lamb, can't pronounce that.
Lamb.
Oh, really?
It's a B, I mean.
Yes, okay. We love the College Fix.
The College Fix always
do.
Has something good.
Okay, I'm just going to let you say this because I literally can't say the headline with a straight face. I can't.
Headline, romance is white supremacy. Black studies professor says.
Sorry if I laugh like that.
So, from the story, romance promotes white supremacy, according to Black Studies professor who said she has endured bad relationships.
The University of California, already says a lot right there, Santa Barbara professor Sabrina Strings, great name, addresses this topic in her new book, The End of Love, Racism, Sexism, and the Death of Romance. You got one, maybe this next line.
This is a good one.
I need you. According to Strings, romance is about, this is a quote, women who are not peak white or are insufficiently white are subject deservedly to deceit, manipulation, assault, and rape. I will comment when she finishes this part.
Well, this follows her 2019 book about how fat phobia is rooted in, wait for it, racism. Strings is also the co-founding editor of Race and Yoga Journal.
Okay, so let me go back to the fourth part. All right? I can't believe this. Women who are not peak white or insufficiently white are you serious? Are you absolutely serious? I'm going to call her professor and be nice and respectful. Strings. Any woman is subject to rape. Any woman. I was almost date raped by someone I knew, someone I trusted and knew, not a stranger. This can happen to any woman at any time. Rape is not about sexuality. Rape is about power. And it has nothing to do with race.
It doesn't. And the reason I actually picked this story,
just to get me upset.
Get your dander going.
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
Good job.
But
not
it,
reading
it's
her
about,
book.
To me, it's about racism because, to me, the bottom line is, if everything is racist, then nothing is racist.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going in this crazy world where every little slight, somebody reads something into it that is not there because that happens to be their line of study or whatever. And guess what? You know, you have to make work for yourself. So,
all right.
That's it.
Okay, so we are going to be back live next week. I believe it's, I'm doing my math right, Sunday. God, it's June 16th on Father's Day. We'll be live streaming. So if you were listening to this, thank you so much for joining us today. Follow us on social media platforms. But again, we'll be live. We'll be back live. We know it's been like 3 weeks. Sunday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. If you are listening to the podcast, and God knows, we hope you are, because we pre-recorded those just for you, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. I hate to say it's June, and we're still working on our locals community, but we're still trying to figure things out. And if you want to reach out to us personally, you can learn more and follow us on all the socials. And again, you can email us privately. You can even leave us a voice message on our website at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show.
All right. Thanks for not slurring that much.
I know. I got through that pretty good, right?
Amen.
I think so.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks so much.